Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. You never know what's going to be on the TV in studio here because guess what? I have no control over it. So it's always fun to see TNT slide right into something like National Treasure starring Nicolas Cage amongst others. I'm amazed that 5 seconds into the images I see on the screen, I immediately recognize that this is National Treasure starring Nicolas Cage.
It is a one-of-a-kind movie, to be fair.
It for sure is, Sean.
I guess there are two sequels, so maybe not one of them.
I would say too many. Here is my take on National Treasure. No movie has ever, let's just be frank, castrated its lead actor more than that. Nicolas Cage, they did not let him cook in this movie. Nick Cage, one of the greatest actors of our time. If you disagree with me, I'll fight you. Nicolas Cage, incredible actor, but impotent in this movie, much like the Houston Astros offense, is impotent right now. Goodness gracious me, oh my. Zero runs against that guy? Oh, Paul, you're on a roll right now. Yeah, who the hell is Mike Burrows? Is that even his first name? Getting zero runs against this guy? Huh? Yeah, that's his actual name. His ERA is 5.27, and you score zero runs against him. Listen, everyone's got to earn a living. There's a lot of pitchers at the major league level that you know aren't going to be there for long, but hey, they get to realize a lifelong dream. But how did he look at his previous two regular season starts? May 22nd against the Milwaukee Brewers. Two home runs allowed in five innings. Four earned runs. Three and a third innings against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Four earned runs. And then he pitches against the Houston Astros, this 25-year-old, and he is holding them to a five and a third inning shutout. Inexcusable how bad the Astros offense has been of late. And something I think needs to be done. I'm tired of hearing what Dana Brown had to say about the struggles yesterday when he was on the Astros flagship. He said Christian Walker was turning the corner before last night's game. Christian Walker went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Bats are starting to turn the corner. We're starting to see flashes of offense. Well, I thought that maybe we'd see some more flashes of offense from Isak Paredes, as he did hit a two-run homer, a clutch one, to give a little bit of insurance at the end of Tuesday's game against the Pirates. But he's 0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts. Jacob Melton should not be up at the major league level probably at this point in time. He's 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts. I mean, the Pirates are scoring with small ball, and once again, the Astros go out, and they do nothing with, I don't think, a runner even making it all the way to third base against a team that was starting someone named Mike Burrows. Ryan Gusto, he's not very good. Allowed a lot of base runners, but there weren't a lot of runs scored. Astros defense took care of him. He got out of those jams. Bullpen came in, did what it was supposed to do. Not the pitching fault last night. It's the bats, and Dana Brown went asked, like, hey, you guys looking at upgrading maybe earlier rather than later? We're always in the market for pitching. Yes, we've heard you say that a bunch. At some point, if you're going to talk about the market, let's look at some bats, man. Like, who's next to come up and probably underwhelm? Is it Bryce Matthews, you know? I mean, that you've gotten what you've gotten out of Cam Smith to this point is an upset. That Zach DiCenzo looked pretty good before he went back on the IL is pretty crazy, too. But where you're at right now, I mean, this ain't enough. And it's kind of embarrassing when it's happening as much as it's happening. I mean, this is one of the worst first inning offenses in all of baseball. I know that in May they were a lot better, but over the last week, this is the team that has scored three runs or less in their last seven games. Come on.
Yeah.
That's all. Come on.
To me, like, the even with the injuries to the pitching staff, I think the getting a bat is more of a pressing matter for the Astros. That's even saying, even watching Ryan Gusto take the mound and be like, yeah, number four starter, Ryan Gusto. Because that at least has the potential to get better, at the very least, with Spencer Arrighetti. I think when Spencer Arrighetti comes back, then you add him with Brown, Valdez, McCullers. Like, that's good enough. I can live with those four and then figure out the fifth starter. Like, that to me,
it's... maybe it's JP France when he comes back. But here's the thing. All those guys are like a month away. Still, at the very least, in the back of your mind when it comes to the arms, you do have reinforcements coming. It's just a matter of when. How long can you hold out
at Helms Deep until the elves come?
Right.
But to me, like, the bats, they've been bad all year.
Yes, exactly.
The reinforcements that, like you're saying,
we're waiting on Yordan Alvarez.
For Gandolf the White, Yordan Alvarez.
Who is 60% healthy, but we think he's dead. Looks like Gandolf died. Gandolf's dead.
Exactly.
He died. That's not Gandolf the Grey. Let's be honest, 420 enthusiast, high all the time.
Yeah.
Honestly, a disappointment as far as Wizards go. Like, Saruman really had it going.
Not ready for prime time.
Yeah. I mean, he fights Saruman. Saruman kicks his ass. Like, just kicks his ass. It's not just Sauron PEDs in there. He throws him around the room. He has to escape on an eagle. And then, I mean, talk about all-time choke jobs. Like, you think he beat a Balrog? Oh, whoops. Got its little thingy around my lasso. It's a fire lasso. It's around my leg. He pulls me down. And somehow he gets resurrected because God felt bad for him or whatever. So he comes back. And anyway, to end the Gandalf reference, because I could just keep on going talking about Lord of the Rings over talking about baseball. Like, Yordan Alvarez, he's 60% healed. I am just right now operating as if it's going to be a long time before I see him. I know it's going to be a long time before I see Spencer Arrighetti. He needs apparently a whole spring training to get back out there. I know in the case of JP France, probably the same thing. Like, JP France is finally throwing a batting practice on Friday. I'm assuming that means a month. Christian Javier is nowhere close. We didn't get any update about him from Dana Brown yesterday, but Luis Garcia is on the verge of throwing a bullpen. On the verge. And that's going to take him until probably August to get back. That's what Dana Brown said. Yeah, August. Okay, great. Right after the trade deadline. Awesome. Right, just what I want to hear. They do have help coming for the arms, as annoying as it is to think about. But when it comes to the bats, like, this is unacceptable. Period. And I don't know what you do other than shake up the order or shake up your Astros hitting coach or what. And we'll talk to Jeremy Booth about it tomorrow. Chuck has a thought on the Astros at 713-780-3776 to call to text. Chuck, what's up?
Paul, I just want to say I think y'all are dead on as far as the Astros. But I really got another question for you.
Hit me.
Because 2 days ago y'all had one of your better shows, are you and Sean going to do anything? Because yesterday's shows, the critics kind of said it was kind of loose.
Ooh.
And I just want to know, what are y'all doing to address that?
Ooh, damn.
Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate it. Well, I don't know if this segment would exactly feel tight, you will.
The haters probably didn't love the Gandalf diversion.
Who are the critics, by the way?
Just, you know.
The people out there?
People are saying.
People are saying.
Too loose of a show.
Listen, this show is always loose. I mean, if you think it's a tight show, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's like
we just had a child, you know? We're a little loose right now. What? That's what happens. We're a little loose.
I was going to go a different direction
We've been in the bullpen for a while.
I was going to say we're Jameis Winston the show, all right? We're going to go 30-30. We might go 30-30.
And on the right night,
yeah.
It's entertaining, though.
Maybe it's all touchdowns, but there's probably going to be a pick thrown in there, too.
I'm not Tom Brady, okay?
No.
Jameis Winston does hurt my heart a little bit, though.
The
Jameis comparison? What? I haven't assaulted anyone in an Uber.
Okay.
I haven't.
We're Bruce Arians. No risk it, no biscuit. How about that? We're risking it every time. No checkdowns here.
Shoot it.
A check down would be, you know, CJ Stroud talk. All right. We're looking past the check down.
Yeah.
We're going to Gandalf talk.
Who is the run and gun offense guy? That's what we are. We're running gunners.
Oh, yeah.
We're Mike Leach.
Like, we're Andre Ware with the.
In the college.
At U of H.
College, not with the Lions. Yeah. College Andre Ware. Yeah, we're Mike Leach, okay?
You love Mike Leach. Out here.
And honestly, I feel like much like rules are being changed, so much Mike Leach can get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe rules need to be changed for Paul Gallant to get into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame and Sean Mapes.
Thanks.
It's a teamwork. It's a team thing.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. We change. What's our equivalent of firing a hitting coach? What's our equivalent of changing up the lineup? I guess adding Jeremy Booth. Jeremy Booth will be our hitting coach.
More guests, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, we're definitely going to reach out to Will Conkle to bring him in because I enjoy Will's takes. I think Will does a good job presenting takes.
And he was with Jeremy a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
right?
He was. No, so we'll definitely bring in Will a couple of times. Man, that sucks for the Fox 26 guys. I really feel for them. Because just get rid of the entire sports department. And that was one of the better ones for a long time. Largely due to Mark Berman, who was the hardest working man in sports media here. But, man, that sucks. Are they going to keep the late shows? Huh? Interesting. Honestly, until they bring me on the late shows, I cannot endorse the continued survival of those shows. Just saying. I'm just saying. They haven't had me on. I'm a star. What the hell? Paul, the show's too loose again. What the heck? What the heck?
Yeah, yeah. Someone's going, turn it up.
From the 281, the year 3434 of the Second Age, here follows the account of Isildur, the High King of Gondor, at the finding of the Ring of Power. You didn't complete the text, though, sir. You didn't complete the text. Do I need to watch the rest of Ring of Power, by the way? I quit. I gave up.
I am big.
I only liked Isildur's sister, I'll be honest. Like, that was really the only reason I was. And Galadriel. The strong, powerful, independent women.
I'm a big, like, the original three movies. I've watched The Hobbits. Nah, not my bag. And Rings of Power, no chance I'm watching that. So, I'm a purist on the Lord of the Rings.
Purist? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Man. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call into text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Did a little follow-up work, so it does seem that everybody at Fox 26, as far as the sports department, still going. But Will, who I think has done a really good job, Will Conkle, is no more over there. So clean up aisle me. I read Will's tweet and I assumed everything that he wrote in that one was the way things were. All right. So you know how to get aboard. Astros offense, not so good right now. And some are saying that our show is a little bit too loose. But get this, guys. We got some news. Can I get a breaking news thing? We haven't done one in a while. Aaron Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Boom. I mean, that was going to happen sooner rather than later. I saw Pro Football Talks put something on yesterday on their website, which was saying, oh, Steelers training camp. It begins on July 24th. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be there? You also had Joy Taylor saying, like, I can't believe Aaron Rodgers, isn't it? Steelers OTAs. Disregard all the things that have been written about me over the last couple of weeks because of the thing that I allegedly did. Why isn't he at OTAs? They're voluntary. But he signs a one-year deal per Tom Pelissero, Ian Rapoport, and Mike Garofalo. And we shall see how he looks. not going to lie. I'm expecting as much out of Aaron Rodgers with the Steelers as I expected out of Aaron Rodgers year two with the Jets. Year one with the Jets, I was intrigued. I was.
Yeah, because he was, what, back-to-back MVP, and then like a step down from that, but not terrible his last year at the Packers. So, yeah, I think expectations were relatively high for Rodgers year one. Obviously, pops his Achilles four plays in. Yeah, I think he'll be... I think some games he'll be solid on point, and then other games where that it's because of a pass rush and now he's too old and hobbled to make it work, like old Aaron Rodgers or whatever it is. There's just some games you saw last year with the Jets where just like,
yeah,
just didn't have it that day.
He's better, I think, on his best day than Russell Wilson or Justin Fields were last year.
I'd agree.
How much better? I'm not sure. I don't think it's marked, but that inconsistency you talk about, I wonder how Mike Tomlin handles it. Now, I think Tomlin wants a little bit of consistency going forward, yeah. And in principle, or in theory, Rodgers does give you that. And look, the Steelers, they certainly have weapons for Rodgers to work with. You know, they brought in DK Metcalf, but is this going to work out? Did the Steelers go from being a 10-7 team last season that lost the last four games of the year to a same tier as the Texans team in the AFC?
No. Not in my mind, no.
Closer, I think, but I still think they're a tier below.
I think they can go 10-7 and maybe win a game in December. You know, like they might not completely pick up, you know, fold up shop after 10-3 like they did last year, but to me they're still not quite at that. I'd put the Texans in the second tier, mm-hmm, of AFC contenders. I think the Steelers are probably a third tier.
Steelers offense, Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, DK Metcalf, their number one wide receiver. Can you guess who their number two wide receiver is on the depth chart listed at ESPN.com?
They traded George Pickens.
Not him anymore.
So, I have no
idea. You'll laugh.
Robert Woods?
Yes.
Yeah.
Robert Woods is their number two wide receiver right now. Calvin Austin, their number three. Another ex-Texan.
I knew
Ben Skowronek, one of their backups. Scotty Miller, another ex-Texan. From, remember 2022, the Texans got a claim, Scotty Miller, oh my God! And one of these many guys that the online people were very enthused about because he had a cup of coffee with Tom Brady and the Bucks.
So Skowronek, Woods.
And Scotty Miller.
And Scotty Miller.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of Calvin Austin mixed in there.
I mean, it's like this is, if you are a fantasy football owner of Pat Freiermuth, congratulations. This is a good day for you.
Yeah.
But that's really it.
Yeah. Because they let Najee Harris walk, not that he was like amazing, but he was a 1,000-yard guy. Is it Warren and someone else? The running backs? I can pull up there.
Yes, Jalen Warren. Someone named Caleb Johnson with a K.
Iowa running back.
That's right. He's a third-round pick. Kenneth Gainwell, he played pretty good back in the day with the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a very, like, okay offense.
Offense. Their defense is their strength. And I mean, that's how they're going to have to win games. And when you're in a division that also features Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and the entire Bengals core back together offensively, like, can you keep pace with this with Aaron Rodgers? I would lean towards no.
No. Yeah. This is.
I like the Bengals more than I like the Steelers, and I like the Ravens more.
Can they get to like 20 points, 21 points? Like, that's how they're going to have to win all these games. It's like 23-20.
Mm-hmm. As far as the Texans are concerned this coming season, will the Texans have to go up against Aaron Rodgers? They will not. Steelers are not on the schedule.
Until the playoffs.
Until
the AFC title game.
You know what? If the Texans played the Steelers in the second round of the playoffs, that game is getting flexed out of the Saturday 3:30 window. That game is getting flexed out.
I think that's Saturday night Peacock exclusive.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. It's the Steelers. That is CBS. That is.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's the big show. That's the big shove. If they play against the Steelers, first round of the playoffs, second round of the playoffs, that is a primetime game. Steelers are a national brand.
Monday night wild card game? Or is that too much?
It could be a wild card game. But I would lean towards this is a primetime game, wild card weekend. Yeah. Say the Steelers continue to have winning seasons and make the playoffs. I do not think that is a guarantee. That is a very tough division that they're in.
It is a tough division. Like, you said it. Like, I cannot really see a way that they win this division.
No, nor I. I mean, it's
second place, injuries, whatever.
The only reason they're in second is because the Bengals every single year start off like 4-8, which they did. The Bengals were 4-8 and they won their last five games. The Steelers were 10-3 and lost their last four games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they're at. Also, the Browns stink. So at the very least, they can beat up on the Browns.
Yeah, well, the Bengals start at Cleveland and with the Jags. Yeah. So, guys, if there's a year to come out to a hot start, it's two teams with the top five pick.
Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler, and the latest news in the AFC South, which certainly I feel like may have gotten more difficult today. Anthony Richards. What? He sucks. Anthony Richardson has been sidelined with a shoulder injury. He aggravated the right shoulder joint he injured in 2023. He's going to be sidelined for an undetermined length of time, per Shane Steichen. He missed all three offseason practices this week and will be held out of next week's three-day mandatory minicamp. This job is now Daniel Jones to lose, and we will see if Daniel Jones is actually still decent. He can be decent. He just was well overpaid because of one season that he had.
Yeah,
really, the turnovers are the big issue. The funny thing with Jones is, you know, you step into that Richardson role, and you got these two guys who are both very good runners. I mean, that's going to make it tough for certain teams.
Yeah,
certain teams.
Oh, the Texans? You think it's tough?
No, I don't think it's the Texans.
Okay.
No,
I think it's
bad teams. They're not bad with Daniel Jones under center, but they're certainly like bottom third of the league. It's like upper bottom third.
Upper bottom. Yeah. Yeah, like 26 kind of range.
No, they're higher than that. I think they're like around 22.
Okay. Yeah, Jones is someone that you like a lot more when you're paying him $14 million as opposed to 40, like the Giants were. And I think if you keep that in mind, you can be satisfied with what you get out of Daniel Jones. But you said it might have gotten harder for the Texans. I kind of think that they're different flavors of the same. Like, you're getting the same level of quarterbacking with Anthony Richardson versus Daniel Jones. Because Richardson, every once in a while, like we saw in the Week 1 game with the Colts and Texans, where he can pop a couple big ones on you really fast, and arguably he'd left like three more on the field just purely off him. Like, the Texans were ready to give up another touchdown to, I think it was A.D. Mitchell at two touchdowns that he just couldn't connect with Richardson with.
No, so that first game of the year was
shaky.
Honestly, looking back at it, that game was a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
Because the defense got better, but it was just a matter of, man, this is not a team that can win against the big boys if you're doing that against the teams that are on your level. Maybe this year will be different. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Aaron Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Feels weird to say that. Up next, how far is too far? We got a couple of NFL stories to get to. And should you lust for a coworker? Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Everything's falling apart in here. How do I tighten up the microphone without breaking the microphone in the middle of a segment? Do I just twist it like No, that doesn't work. Okay. Again, no one wants to hear this. If you're watching on YouTube and or Twitch, it's probably a delight to see me struggle with a microphone, struggle while holding a device close to my face. Anywho, Aaron Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler, if you're just tuning in. And the other big news of the day in football is that Anthony Richardson is going to be sidelined seemingly indefinitely with another shoulder issue, meaning Daniel Jones is probably the Colts' starting quarterback. The Astros can't score runs. They've scored three runs or less for a week straight. It's annoying me. What are you going to do? That's all I got. They could shake up the lineup. Someone was texting in, do you move Christian Walker out of the cleanup spot? That's where I'd start. But they haven't done that yet.
Yeah. The right now, the my biggest thing is like, for who?
Yeah.
It's kind of the, like,
Jake Myers, I think, is really the one that you put at the top. Yeah. Well, listen, he's hitting well.
And he is.
Victor Caratini, another one who needs to be playing on a daily basis. But that's kind of tough to do because they paid Christian Walker what they paid him. And even though Dana Brown, I think, is going to be a little more proactively reactive than they were with Dusty Baker as manager, I think, you know, the obvious example of that was last year. They didn't stick with Jose Abreu that long.
No.
I've got to say, wonder when the anniversary of that is.
It's got to be probably around like the corner. Right around now, because it was the start of June. Because, again, it's one that I remember because there's a whole bunch of, like, you know, from June 8th, they're XYZ, they're first in baseball and XYZ. So it's probably pretty close to a year from now, or a year ago.
The first time he was sent to West Palm Beach was April 20th.
Nice.
Yeah, 420. And they released him on June 14th.
Okay.
So we're close. Huh.
What,
we're close.
Next week?
A week from now. Do we do a celebration?
Maybe a throwback. Maybe just a throwback.
If you were to do like a MLB Films, like, look back at the 2024 Astros season. Like, that was the turning point. Play some NFL Films.
Sadly, was the turning point.
And then when they cut Jose Abreu, the Astros took flight.
Yeah, and then
baseball, we have a problem. Yeah, and then pop, 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 pop goes the weasel. Speaking of weasels, I got nothing, but how far is too far? Let's play the hit game that's sweeping America.
Paul Gallant asks a simple question. How far is too far?
Yeah, we're definitely outside the box now, huh? You got to ask yourself, how far are you willing to go?
How far is too far? Is this too far? Say you're doing a blockbuster movie and you're one of the biggest actors in Hollywood and one of the biggest actresses in Hollywood is on set with you. Are you allowed to be lustful towards your coworker? This is Danny DeVito, now 80 years old and a national treasure, on an interview with Colin Farrell as they both discussed their very different roles playing the Penguin.
If I knew she was going to be in the show that day, in that scene.
Would you brush pause for a second.
Oh my God, I got all.
Danny DeVito was talking about Michelle Pfeiffer, who played Catwoman in Batman Returns, the movie. This clip continues.
In that scene.
Would you brush your teeth that morning?
Oh, my God. I got all flustered.
Did you have an extra shower?
I mean, when I, you know, put extra makeup on. Give me another pound of makeup. You know, stick the, you know. God almighty, it was very difficult to keep my...
How was it to work with her?
She's great. She was great.
She was fantastic in that.
But
you were both
wonderful.
Fantastic in it.
Just so wonderful, and I lusted
you were
after
very
her.
Dangerous.
I loved her.
We're moving
loved
on from her. Your lust. I'm not
her.
Getting into your...
I loved her. I just wanted everybody else to disappear.
All right, so just tell
yeah,
me
okay, so go
what
ahead.
Form did the lust
take?
The behaviorally.
It was not me. It was the Penguin. It was Oswald. It was lustful.
Was she
was
nervous
like,
when she was working with you? Did she call security?
No, she was good.
Did she say, tell him to stop stirring the...
I thought she kind of liked it.
Tell him to stop stirring the sauce.
I had a feeling she liked it. I had a feeling she liked Oswald.
I gotta watch this whole thing. Colin was uncomfortable there, but started screwing with him as that went on. That's gotta be tough to be in a work setting, to be an actor at that moment in time. I mean, Danny DeVito was, I mean,
he was making moves.
Danny DeVito aged in Batman Returns. I'm going to guess he was a little bit younger than 50.
It was probably like 40 years ago.
Oh, he was 39. Good God. Damn, 40 years ago, that hurt my feelings. It came out in 1992.
Oh, it did? Yeah. I thought it was older. My bad.
Hang on a second. AI does a terrible job. This doesn't add up. He was 49 years old. This doesn't... Okay. He was born in 1944. He was 49 years old.
I was
going to
say, he said he was 80, so...
Yeah. Anyway. But Danny DeVito... In that movie, which, by the way, I have not seen all of. I've seen parts of it.
Really?
This is the campy Batmans. I can't really do the campy Batmans. People that talk about Batman starring the original Batman with Michael Keaton, they act like it's great. It doesn't age well. Obviously, when it first came out, it was the first great superhero movie post-Superman, I think. So, cool. Everyone always wanted a Batman movie.
Yeah.
But, I prefer the Dark Knight trilogy and the Pattinson Batman. Sorry.
No, I think that's fair. I think it does... It's a little bit like going back and watching, like, 1950s basketball, where you're just like... There's not a lot of crossovers. You know, there's... You're like,
Yeah.
I can appreciate it for what it is, but it has been elevated, I would say, since then, but... I think they're enjoyable movies, but I wouldn't say they're awesome, you know?
Right, exactly. How far is too far? Is it too far to lust after your coworker?
I think in most cases, yes.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't ever say it.
And it sounds like DeVito was. He was respectful, but just
respectful
on the inside.
Yeah. Also, years later, this is actually something that I think is fair to talk about.
Yeah.
What? Is he ever going to interact with Michelle Pfeiffer again? Probably not. I have no idea what Michelle Pfeiffer's doing now. Michelle Pfeiffer.
She was in an Ant-Man movie?
That's right. Gotta say. Still, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Quantumania. Yeah. Good for her. Good genetics. You know, strong, powerful, independent woman. As she always was. How far is too far continues... Is it too far to suggest that Sam Darnold could be supplanted as Seahawks starting quarterback before the year begins? This question was asked by the time slot that I used to work in at 710 Seattle Sports.
Is there anything that could happen other than an injury between now and the beginning of the season that would lead to a different quarterback?
No, you guys are crazy.
There's no way to ask the question without sounding like an idiot.
Like, I respect you got to ask it, but like, you guys, it's just a crazy question. There's just not going to, like, Sam's our starting quarterback. We love him. He's doing a tremendous job. I think it's funny that the media is out there for like the first day and all of a sudden they know exactly how good we're going to be and how good all the players are and all the tempos. Like, we don't even put on pads yet. Like, we haven't made one tackle. And it turns out in practice, like, it's a great way to build culture by letting guys know that, like, they can't make mistakes. That's exactly what we're shooting for. So go out to practice, be tight, you know, make sure you don't make a mistake, because then, you know, God forbid, you know, you're the worst player of all time because you made one bad throw or one bad decision. It's like, that is not what we're trying to build.
Okay, I get what you're not trying to build, but the same exact GM that signed Matt Flynn one offseason and then started Russell Wilson to begin the season is running the show, John Schneider.
Yeah, Russell Wilson drafted third round.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Milroe drafted third round.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, I would say maybe a little bit more of a track record than Matt Flynn, but not much. Not much. I mean, he was better for longer in his free agency year. But yeah, I don't think it's crazy to suggest that Sam Darnold would have to compete for his starting job. I don't think it's ridiculous the way he's saying
it. Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Whoa, sacred cow?
You'd think that they asked about, like, does C.J. Stroud need to worry about Davis Mills? Like, or does Pat Mahomes have to worry about his back? Like, he reacted in a way where it was, like, ridiculous. I don't think it's ridiculous that at the very least you have to, like, pretend that there's a quarterback competition.
Jalen Milroe can run. At the very least, he has that. Can he throw? Well, yeah. But at the college level, he was good when he ran. And I don't think Drew Locke is going to be scaring Sam Darnold off, but who knows?
Drew Locke is at a point, and Sam Darnold, where I'm like, I think Darnold is better.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a world of difference between those two guys.
Right. I mean, some people are correctly bringing up on the Twitch. There is a lot to be desired with
Milroe throwing.
Milroe in a way that with Russell Wilson, like the biggest strike against him coming out of college was his height. And he was obviously very, very effective, especially in extending plays early on in his career. And he was a great compliment for the Seahawks and their great defense. This Seahawks team is different. They have been around 500 for a little bit. I don't know that Mike McDonald is going to be successful. I like John Schneider as GM. I always respected him when I went there. But I don't necessarily feel that same way about McDonald. And I think pushing back, even if it is against people that replaced me in that setting, even if it is against them, I'm kind of with them. Like, that's a totally fair question to ask. What are we doing here? Like, oh, it's crazy. It's not crazy. He's Sam Darnold. This is the same guy who peed his pants against the Patriots and said he was seeing ghosts in a game in 2019.
He peed his pants in January.
Yes!
Against the Lions, and then again the next week.
It's incredible the Vikings had 14 wins with that guy under center.
Yeah.
They did it in spite of him. Darnold's not good, and I'm so tired of the people that want to keep making Sam Darnold a thing. Geno Smith's better than Sam Darnold. That's not a debate. He's with the Raiders right now, and I think a lot of Seahawks fans are going to be pissed off at the end of the year, and I wonder if they're going to be calling for Mike McDonald's head or John Schneider's head. But anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5. 92.5. How far is too far? Also, is this too far? Calvin Ridley said about Cam Ward, newest Titans quarterback, that Cam Ward has an F it mentality, and that's what you need out of your quarterback. Calvin, Will Levis was your quarterback last year, and he had an F it mindset too. Sir.
That is true.
You do not
that
want...
That is true. Not all effort mentalities are created equal.
Jameis Winston has an effort mentality. It's fun to watch if it's not your team. I would press the pause button on that. There's this idea that you want a quarterback who throws interceptions. No, you want quarterbacks to have chutzpah, but you don't want somebody who's throwing interceptions left and right. That's why Love stunk last year. Jordan Love. Oh, not stunk. That's why Jordan Love, though...
Disappointed
a lot of people because Love was turning the ball over left and right. Okay, he's aggressive, great, but no, you do have to take care of the ball to a degree.
There's a balance. You need a sprinkling of effort, but being all effort, especially when you don't have the talent to back it up. And Cam Ward, he was good at Miami. He was good at Washington State, but we still haven't actually seen him back that up in the NFL. So, and... By the way, watching him in college, you can see the effort mentality for good and for ill at Miami and at Wazoo.
By the way, the Twitch is arguing that Jared Goff is better than C.J. Stroud again. You watched him throw the 5 interceptions against the Texans. That is just incorrect. I don't care what numbers you're going to bring to the table. We all watched that game together, and I also saw Jared Goff pee his pants in multiple games of the playoffs. Okay, I have yet to see Stroud do that. I haven't seen Stroud do that. Young, early, but if you're arguing that Jared Goff is better than C.J. Stroud, you're an idiot, period. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. IDIOT, idiot. Twitch at ESPN 975. I do love the Twitch stuff. Up next, a little garbage time before we GTFO. Stick around.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Twitch is good at trolling me from time to time. They're pretty good. Anyway, hey, guys, the Astros, you know what would be nice if they did this today? I don't know how they do it, but they should try to score more runs. Just a thought. I don't know about you. I don't know about them. But me, speaking as the greatest baseball mind that's ever spoken into a microphone in Houston, Texas.
Greatest mind who's ever had to fight with a microphone in order to speak with it.
I have been battling this effing microphone all day today.
Yeah, basically five more minutes.
I'm holding it
less
right now.
Less than 5 minutes. Yeah.
Well, it's a shame.
Then it's Joel's problem.
Yeah, it's Joel's problem now. Joel got mad at me a couple of days ago because I think he thought that something that I'm assuming Lance left in studio was something that I left. Lance like just sticks tissues in this crevice of this desk.
Yeah, and there's like a ridge in the desk.
Yeah, and I never see it because I always have my notes on
strewn
top of it.
About, yeah.
And I never see it because we, for whatever reason, don't always have a trash can in studio. Anyway, I'm sorry. This is way too much inside baseball. Garbage time. Let's go.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Shout out to Jose Ballester, the guy who peed in the creek at the Masters and gave us an entire day's worth of conversation on my birthday, which I'm very thankful for. He is joining the LIV Golf Tour. How about that? Here is Ballester talking about peeing in the creek at the Masters.
Well, I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left of the tee box.
Okay. 13th tee.
Yes, yeah. Correct. And then I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here. In the river, probably the people would not see me that much, and then they clap for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like real loud. So that was kind of funny.
Are you concerned that there might be any blowback from that at all? Or I mean, obviously they did see you, right?
Yeah, they saw me. They saw me. Yeah. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me. So if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
So that's a great moment. By the way, we got some beef, a lot of media beef this week. We also got some most powerful people in our country beef. Did you see what the last Elon Musk versus Donald Trump tweet today? Elon Musk just posted this 40 minutes ago. Time to drop the really big bomb. Trump is in the Epstein files. That's the real reason they haven't been made public. Have a nice day. Oh my God.
It felt inevitable.
It did feel inevitable.
It was a little fast.
Very fast. They had the little press conference where they're saying, all right, he's going to take less of a role now.
Shake hands and part ways.
Yeah, not an amicable breakup. No. Shout out to Lois Boisson. Now, she did go down to American Coco Gauff, but this is the same tennis player who got called out for needing deodorant a couple of months ago. We played this on the air.
Yeah.
She made it to the French Open semifinals. Wow. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Obviously, Coco Gauff is one of the best female tennis players in the world. I say obviously. For those who don't know, she is. Just trust me on that. She was plus 55,000 to win the whole French Open. So she went pretty far. Shout out to her. And maybe she'll get an endorsement for...
Degree. Secret.
Speed.
Do they still have Secret?
I don't know. Why don't you just start doing Old Spice? shocker. Greg Hardy arrested. He assaulted a family member this time. Would have thought.
Yeah.
Want to feel old? Michigan Wolverines football just offered Charles Woodson Jr. a scholarship. Woodson Jr. is a 5'11", 160-pound defensive back from Orlando, Florida. Now he's going to Michigan. We'll say this, Orlando football, not as good as Tampa Bay football, but that's fine. That's fine. Refs in Orlando always had it out for us. Used to screw us over. I won a game twice on 4th and 10, knocking a guy out over the middle of the field. They called it a complete pass both times. It's either a fumble or an incomplete pass. Make up your mind. It's complete? But anyway, Charles Woodson Jr. I honestly thought he would have been perhaps at the college level a little bit sooner than this, for what it's worth. Because Charles Woodson, how long ago did he hang him up?
He was
like 6-7 years ago, right?
Yeah, he was drafted in the 90s, right?
Yeah. 98. So I would have thought that maybe we would have seen the next Charles Woodson
a little
sooner than that. But shout out to Charles Woodson Jr. And on that note, guys, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. A big thanks to everyone who joined the show today, whether you called or you texted or you were on Twitch or YouTube, everyone else who listened, we appreciate you as well. Subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, The Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass as well. I am really Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Killer Bees are next. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Peace.
You're listening to ESPN.